What's going on, everybody? On today's episode of the Hoops Corner, we talked to Phil Doucette from The First Mint. We talked to Phil about everything related to NBA Top Shot, from his son getting in on it before he did, where he thinks Top Shot will go in the future, and how he thinks other sports will integrate NFTs in the future. This is definitely one of our funnest conversations about a topic that's really trending across the league and taken over by storm. So without further ado, here's our conversation with Phil. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Hoops Corner. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, the Iceman himself, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
Feeling good. I went to a couple shoot-around sessions today with our buddy Raj, so I'm feeling good today. Finally got to get outside and shoot around. Weather's nice. Can't complain.
Got a nice sweat on?
Oh, yeah.
Got a good wrist, unlike a certain potential Rookie of the Year candidate?
Indeed. I didn't break anything this time, so I'm good.
Good man, you gotta stay healthy out there. And our special guest, straight from the First Mint himself, the real Phil D. Phil, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, guys. Happy to be here and happy to discuss what people call the hottest thing in collectibles these days.
It's true, man. It's this little NFT and Top Shot world is just taking over. It felt like just like yesterday that ESPN and The Athletic launched articles talking about NBA Top Shot, and that's when when the market grew, and that's when Josh and I got into it too, right? But, I want to ask you, how'd you get into this? How would you explain your Top Shot start?
So it's a really weird one because to my own fault, I probably ignored it a bit too early on in the process. So I don't want to tell a very long story, so I'll keep it short. So I have my own podcast going for the NBA 2K League. I cover a lot of the Raptors Uprising stuff. I cover the entire league. I have since the start of the league 3-4 years ago. And that's also licensed by the NBA. It's run by the NBA. It's all the real NBA franchises. So I have a podcast for that. So I'm a huge fan of podcasts, right? And then my brother starts asking me questions. That's LG Doucette. He starts asking me questions back in December about podcasts and how I do it. What do I do? How do I get started? All that stuff. So I answer all those questions. He finally releases an episode of something called The First Mint, episode 1. And I'm like, oh, cool. You know what? He supported me all these years. I'll go out and support him. So I'll retweet it. I'll even listen to it. It's like only 14 or 15 minutes. So I'm down to listen to that. So I listen to it. And then I'm trying to listen and I'm working at the same time. And I'm just like, I don't even know what this guy's saying. I don't know what this is. I know nothing about this, but it's about the NBA. So let me go check this out. He's talking about buying LeBron's for $5, all sorts of stuff like that. So I'm just like, all right, this sounds pretty cool, but I have no idea what's going on. So the episode finished. I opened an account. And then I sent him a text. I said, what do I do? I don't understand this thing. He goes, well, your son has been on there since August. I have a 16-year-old son. And he goes, he's been on there since August. For his birthday, I opened him an account. And I even put him some Dapper balance in there. And I gave him some moments. So I asked my son. And he said, well, yeah, that's true. But I don't really know what it is. I've just had it there. I bought a few things back then. So my account's got 20 or 30 cards, he calls them at the time. And I don't know, I've just had it sitting there. So that's what kind of kickstarted. I got into it, started buying a couple things. Funny story, guys, is that back then packs were available every day. We're talking 25,000 packs just sitting there. Man. And I'm like, I don't want to spend $9 on a pack because I can buy something for a dollar or two, a really good player for a dollar or two. So why am I going for packs where I may not get that kind of value? So I said, forget packs. I actually didn't buy a pack until 2 weeks after my start. I wish I did. On looking back, if I could have bought all those, series one packs back then, kept a bunch of them, I'd be smiling right now. But I'm still smiling because once I really got into it and, my brother knew my history of media and all the stuff I've done on podcasts. So he said, why don't you get into this with me? And that's how it kind of started. But when I, like I said, when I first started, we're talking January 8th. Everything was a dollar. He gave me some things. He did that to all his friends that he brought on. So he sent me I always tell the story. He sent me a Jokic that he bought for $20, which was a huge purchase back then. And he's like, here, happy birthday, Merry Christmas, whatever it is, here's Jokic, which is now $3,000 or $4,000, right? So,
his brother.
Yeah. So every time we talk about it now, I said, well, you don't have to get me anything for Christmas this year. He says, oh, well, I don't have to get you anything for Christmas for the next 10 years. So that's where we're at with that, right? So that's what kind of kickstarted me. He gave me a couple of things. I invested a little bit of money of my own. My biggest purchase ever at the time was a Giannis for like $38, which is also now a couple thousand. But that was that for me, that was spending a lot. I'm like, man, I don't know. I'm going to take a shot here. I'll deposit $50 and I'll spend $38 on Giannis. But I was so unsure at the time, right? So that's what started my involvement with the First Mint, is he brought me on just because of my media aspect of things and because he can't do it all himself, right? And he knows how much I'm into this stuff. So he thought I was a pretty good asset for the team.
So he never told you what why he was asking you about podcasting and like launching it on his own?
No, I think he claims he had mentioned it in a conversation that, you know, what Top Shot was. But, you know, and unless it made the news, like you guys said, a lot of people joined when they saw the articles, when they heard it on the news. Outside of that, my experience with anything crypto or NFT was so minimal that I still kind of thought it was bogus. And at the time, my son was also, he found, like, I gave him this box that I had when I was young of cards, baseball, basketball, hockey cards. And he's been selling these on eBay, making like a killing. But he has to get them graded. He sends them down to the US. They come back like 6 months later. You know what I mean? Like, the process is crazy. And I'm helping him ship these out to people. I'm helping him, you know, he's collecting funds. He's finding buyers, all that stuff. Meanwhile, we found this new thing where there's a 24-hour marketplace, you know, and you can just sell there. So this whole thing, he got into it at the same time as me, even though he already had an account. And that kind of like just that kickstarted things for him too. He's not into the cards anymore so much. He's more into Top Shot, although he's frustrated lately with all the pack drops and he's not scoring anything. But I think he feels the way we all do, right, at some point. But yeah, no, I had no idea what it was when we first started or why he was asking me this. He even dropped the first episode without telling me anything. And that's when I listened to it and I really got into it. But I'm glad I did, because it was, you know, a lot of information in there and it really caught my eye, which means he did his job, because a casual listener like me that actually just turned it on so he could have an extra download or an extra listen, I actually got into it by just listening to that. So
you said your son got into it in August of last year. Was that through your brother?
Yeah, it was. So for his birthday, my brother opened my son a Top Shot account.
Oh, okay.
Funded it with like $100 and then gave him like 20 moments. So my son, but at the time was like, there was no hype around this, right? And it's kind of weird, right? Watching these videos, you don't really understand the algorithm. So he just let it sit. Like, he just put it down, let it sit. And when I got really into it is when he kind of jumped back in. He goes, oh, yeah, hey, look what I have, right? Kind of a flex type of thing, saying, hey, I got more than you. I got some cool stuff here. And then it just started to take off because he told his friends. I told mine. I discussed it on the air on some of my podcasts, things like that, right? And people just – it just blew up. Yeah, he got in there ahead of me. His total account value has always been higher than mine. Because he kind of collected things before I did. He just bought stuff for a dollar because he had the money in there. But, you know, the way it jumped, that's one of the issues, guys, is the way it jumped so fast. A lot of people bought in at that time and they're a little disappointed now, right? Now that things have, you know, they've leveled off a bit. It all depends when you joined and how you feel about things, because that matters, right? That's your return on investment's a little bit different depending when you joined.
Yeah, I think Josh, when did you joined at the same time, right? Like, we all joined around the same couple of days?
Yeah, I joined right before the ESPN article came out, but I heard about it from a podcast on The Ringer with Chris Vernon and Kevin O'Connor. And they were talking about it in January, and, you know, he was talking about his John Morant moments, and I was like, what is this all about? I didn't think it was anything, of course. And then, you know, Brian Windhorst comes out with an article on ESPN, and then our friend Kevin tells us about it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I heard about this, never got into it, and then all of a sudden, the very next day, it explodes. So we got in a little bit late.
Well, I mean, you say late, but I always tell people this. I mean, if you're seeing this as being a big picture thing, which – again, NFTs are, and all this stuff, all this digital stuff and cryptocurrency, all that is still really new. Nobody really knows about this. Top Shot has spent $0 in advertisement, so they say, which I don't know because we see a lot of stuff, but they haven't spent much on advertising. It hasn't gone mainstream where we have fans in the stands and then they incorporate having moments with an experience at the game. Other countries haven't gotten into it. A lot of the Asian countries haven't gotten into it, which is a huge, huge part of the NBA fan base, right? So I think I personally think it's still early. You just have to be careful what you do. A lot of people went really hard when it was at its peak. And like I said before, they're disappointed now. But once you kind of learn the waves and how they come and go, and you can buy in at the right time and buy things that you actually care for, that's when I think it becomes something that's fun. Because I've taken losses too, but I own a lot of stuff that I really like. So, you know, stuff like the only one I don't have yet is Vince Carter's last shot in the NBA. it's Vince Carter in a Hawks jersey. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to spend $3,000 or $4,000 for that. Right. I don't know. I hope. I don't know. Something's got to come out where he's in a Raptors jersey, and then I'll probably invest into that. But I'll be patient with that. I don't have to
move. That was actually the first moment me and my buddy Kevin were about to buy on the first day that we got in. It was up for 1,700 originally. It was a pretty good serial number. And then it jumped to like 4,000 2 days later. And he didn't get that one. And we were so disappointed.
That is so wild. And you know, it's funny you say that, Josh. But when I was looking at it and eyeing it and had it on my watch list, it was around 450 or 500. Mm. And I didn't want to pull the trigger. I was just like, man, no, this doesn't make sense. This thing will go down eventually, right? But then that tsunami hit and everything you had been looking at was completely out of range, right? But like we saw now, it went up to 4,000. I think it hit almost 5,000 at some point, and now it's down to, I believe, under 2,000 now. Actually, it went back up a little bit today, but it just shows you, right? The more stuff comes out, more people come, the more there'll be money put into this. A lot of people are trying to dump stuff all the time for inexplicable reasons. The market is not an easy one to understand. And that's why I say you kind of have to just sit there and be patient and study the waves, right? You guys have seen it, right? People are just dumping at all times for who knows what reason. People lose their minds on that thing.
You said that it's gone up today, but like, do you check like specific moments every day just to see how they're going? Or is this just like a general market look that you do?
It is. I mean, if it's something I really want, I'll check it, you know, when I get up in the morning, I'll check it in the afternoon, see what's going on. It's just not steady, right? Like I don't understand quite 100% what's going on all the time with this market. I mean, when they announce anything, the market crashes, right? If they announce $9 packs coming out the next day, the market crashes. And you're asking yourself, first of all, only one out of nine people is going to get one of these packs. Second of all, it's $9. So why are people selling off the farm to set themselves up for these base packs that don't have too much in them anyways, unless you hit a LaMelo or something like that, right? So the ability to withdraw a lot of people not able to withdraw right now. I think until they get all that settled, a lot of people are just kind of playing with fun money and just doing crazy things. And it's hard to explain. I think there's a lot of young people on there too. Like I said, my son's 16 and he's on there, and he's got friends that are younger that are on there. So you've got some crazy stuff happening every day on Top Shot. You just have to pick your spots.
So when do you think Top Shot will be out of beta mode, and how do you really foresee that really affecting the product or the market in general?
That's the million-dollar question right now, because everything that doesn't work or they have issues with, they always go back to, hey, we're still in beta and it's not working. But that excuse has kind of grown old with a lot of people now. A lot of people are just like, well, doesn't matter. You still have to adjust to the people that are here now, which is looking like 300,000 or 400,000 at the minimum. But they're kind of just, I mean, they continue to tell us they're working on it. I think it'll come sometime in the next year. And I don't know how much it'll change. I think they'll be able to do a lot more. They'll be able to bring in a lot bigger crowds. A lot of people don't trust it because it's in beta right now. But I think it is on their priority list. I just don't know from the technical aspect of it, you know, what it's going to take to move on to the next step. It's not been discussed that much. They just say it's something we're working hard on to get out of beta. But for now, we're in beta and we're going to do everything in beta, you know, in this initial stage of Top Shot, because it is still young, right? If we're looking back, I believe my brother was one of the real OGs. He started at the very beginning. I think he joined in maybe August or a little bit before that, sometime in the summer.
Yeah.
And he told me, like, funny story, guys, he told me that back in the summer, you could go 3 or 4 days without a single transaction being made on the marketplace, right? Whoa. That's how dead things were. So, I mean, they're doing their best. I just, you know, there's, again, when you have a big crowd like you have now, any issue is going to cause an uproar. And if you have multiple issues like they've had, people are going to be really upset and they're sick of hearing the beta excuse.
Yeah, I find it like, it's kind of interesting that they got ESPN and The Athletic and, you know, NBC Sports or whatever, all to release the article all at once, right? Because you know that once it goes mainstream like that, you're obviously going to have a major influx of users joining the platform. But at the same time, like, they weren't really prepared to have, like, you know, 100,000 people sign up in one day or, like, whatever the numbers were. So it's kind of, like, in that weird spot where you wanted to grow as quickly as possible, But at the same time, you're like your software engineers or your dev team can't really keep up with the demand at the same time. It's like, yeah, it's hard to keep up. And that's staying in beta is the best way to do it.
It'd be great to have a discussion with somebody from Dapper. I know they're really busy, but we did have some short discussions. When we do have them on the show or we do have them live, we can't really get into some of the technical stuff. We're more asking questions about what's coming up and things like that.
Yeah.
But they've taken a huge hit, like you just said, right? I even said in a lot of our chats or Discords, I said, I would not mind if they shut the site down for a week or two and fixed everything before people are not going to be gone. And this, but we're talking about a month ago, right? Now you'd have some people who are just going to bail and do whatever, but most people will come back. If you shut it down completely and you get things right, that's a lot more appealing to people than continuously diving into issues, right? I mean, today had to be the first pack drop that was not pushed back out of all the, you know, main pack drops that were not just base packs,
yeah,
right? All the rare packs keep getting pushed back. All the All-Star Game packs got pushed back. They always had some kind of issue. So it was encouraging to see that today they didn't have any issues. It looks like it went smoothly. So I think they're making progress. I think patience is obviously a virtue with these guys. I think they're doing their best, but they're really undermanned in terms of staff, because you write something to customer service, you don't hear back for like a month, right? For me, those are the simple things to keep people happy is communication and good customer service, because a lot of people have issues and they're not being answered.
It sounds like the Toronto lockdown, man. Just like shut it down for like a couple of weeks and then just get going. It's so simple.
Yeah, that's great. Well, that's a really good analogy, actually, because they were dropping huge packs in the middle of a lot of issues. And that drove people crazy, because the legendary packs that came out, the last legendary packs to come out, everybody lined up, joined the queue, and then some like 5,000 people got to sneak past the queue and just buy and buy. Right. And this was coming off the site being shut down for like 2 or 3 days. So people are like, what are you doing coming back without the issues being fixed? So I think those have been a lot of the frustrations and why a lot of people don't trust Top Shot completely. But I mean, you know, again, if you're willing to be patient, I think it'll pay off in the end. I think all eyes are on them. It is still a product of the NBA. They have their license by the NBA. So it's not bogus. Like some people say it's a pyramid scheme and all this nonsense like that. We feel those questions all the time. People feel like they're being cheated. I think they just need to get kind of their act together at Dapper by adding more staff, adding the right IT people, and then we'll have a product that's pretty smooth. And, you know, it's not really realistic for people to expect crazy waves like the one we did have, but there will be more waves, right? And it's just like the stock market. You buy when it's at its lowest and you sell when it's at its highest. And if you're capable of understanding that aspect of it, you'll be successful in the long run, right? Keeping in mind that it is still a collector's thing. You collect all the players you really like and the plays you love, like the LeBron no look three. Like that's such a sweet moment that, you know, you can't go wrong. Whether you lose a couple $100 on it or not, it's in your collection and it's pretty sweet.
I think we're all just waiting for the Kobe's to come out. Those are going to be the sweetest moments.
I know. I was asked that a week ago. What's the one moment you would want that's not on there? I said, you know what? I wasn't even a fan of Kobe's that much. I respected him as a player.
Me too.
But I would love him from his last game. That game where he was just hitting everything in sight, you know, yeah. And everyone said it's his finale and he was hitting every shot possible or anything Kobe. And I think that'll blow the site up. I think the site might go down for a week if they release anything Kobe.
No doubt. I thought you were going to say Kobe dropping 81 on Toronto or something.
Yeah. No, see, I don't bring that up, man. No, absolutely not. That's not something we bring up. That's respect what he did, but it's not a game we want to remember as Raptors. Right? So I don't have no interest in owning any of that.
There you go. I don't know. What do you think is going to happen during the offseason? Because, again, like a lot of it is built on the media hype, right? But during the offseason, everything sort of slows down. You know, like, are they just going to be pushing a lot of, like, the new draftees that are coming out? Are probably, like, free agents that moved from, you know, team to team? Any, like, trades, that kind of stuff?
That's interesting because it's not a short offseason. It's not a really long one, but it's not a short one, right? So how do you keep people engaged? Because right now they're keeping people engaged. As much as people don't like pack drops are keeping people engaged. Right. When you start not doing pack drops, everyone who's got a decent collection and is up a lot is crying because they don't want pack drops. Because the pack drops kind of they kind of lower the market a little bit. Prices, yeah, it dilutes it big time. Prices go down and they're furious. It's all I keep getting messages. What are they doing releasing more packs? And so there's a ton of new users who don't have packs yet. So you got to keep them engaged, right? I don't mind. I've missed 11 of my last 12 drops, but if somebody new got a pack for the first time, I'm happy. Because I know that in the long run, everyone needs to be engaged somehow in the market. Can't be sitting there going 0-12, never having any moments and not feeling like you're part of it. I think in the offseason, the discussions we've had with some of the Dapper guys, I think they're going to do a lot of the run it back conditions, right? And they might spread that out a bit. Like they discuss having an Allen Iverson moment, a Shaq moment, and a few other guys, a T-Mac moment, right? And they didn't say what else was in that set. So obviously there's going to be a lot of other run it back moments. I think they'll run with that in the offseason and probably, like you said, do a lot of rookie stuff. And maybe some awards even, right? Whoever wins the awards, I'm going to put that out there. And that's something else that really kind of blew the market up overnight is the LaMelo injury, right? LaMelo being announced out for the year. Everyone just bails on the guy as if he's complete trash, right? Like, I couldn't understand it. I'm like, first of all, he still has a chance to win the Rookie of the Year, right? Nothing's guaranteed. Edwards have a week, final couple months, or he could get hurt. Something could happen, and it's still LaMelo's to lose, right? And everything LaMelo's done this year has been impressive. He's put his resume together. But somehow on Top Shot, I mean, people just flushed him down the toilet overnight because and that's it. And why would you not want his rookie moment?
Yeah.
Even if he got hurt with the work he put in this year, right? So a little hard to understand some of these things. But offseason-wise, I think that they do have a challenge there in keeping everybody engaged because in the past, it's been a dead offseason and they haven't had to worry about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of creative ways they can definitely go. And going back to LaMelo, like me and Peter were talking before the podcast, I was this close to dropping 2 G's on a LaMelo yesterday because it went from, 4,000 to start today or 3,000?
Yeah, that's right.
I think it's at like 1,900 right now. And it's his first moment, first assist. So you figure like when he comes back or if he has a successful career, even after his first big contract or whatever, his value is going to go up as long as you're willing to take the risk and, you know, keep the moment for that long.
Yeah, no, for sure. It now, that's a good point, Josh. This is the time to invest in someone like that because he'll probably be at the lowest he'll ever be, right? I don't think he'll go any lower than that. He might a little bit if they keep dropping packs and people keep panicking. He's confirmed out for the year by Woj. There's no better source than that. So this is his lowest of lows. Like you said, if you had been patient and you waited, now is the time to buy in. He's getting all the rookie badges. That's his first moment, you know, the rookie badge, all that stuff. So once that's announced, I think that'll be the next big jump in the market is when they announce all the badges and the badges are attached to these moments. People are going to go crazy and buy everything that has a badge. So I think what you said is a good point. I think now's the time to buy in. I actually considered it myself. I don't think we'll ever see him under $2,000 again after that with the badges and the new people coming in and LaMelo picking up where he left off. Like, just think of this. If he goes to like 10 All-Star games, right, in his career and you have his rookie moment, that thing will be worth something down the line. And even the Cool Cats challenge, people are all bailing on it because the master reward is a LaMelo. But now that he's out for the year, everyone's like, yeah, we're done with this. Let's sell the whole collection. But it was interesting to watch how people reacted. We knew it was coming. My brother texted me. He's like, LaMelo's out for the year. I go, okay, watch the market. People are going to lose it now. Right. So, it's a good point. I'm in the same boat as you and considering buying my first LaMelo now that he's at his lowest.
What are these badges that you guys are talking about? So it's like just like categorizations of like specific moments or something? Like
first moment on Top Shot. There's a few different rookie badges that are going to come out. And there's been a lot of rumors of how they'll be labeled onto the moment. And I think that the best way they can do it is to have, you know, when you go in the marketplace and you look up all the moments, if they can have these little badges that are visible on the marketplace and not where you have to click on the moment to see them, and what badges are attached, if they can have them visible in different colors, that'll be huge. First moment is not, it's the first moment that appeared on Top Shot because some of the dates are different, right? Some of the dates are throwbacks and things like that. It'll be the first moment that was ever put on Top Shot. That'll have a first moment badge. And then the rookies have, some of the rookies will be double, triple badge. And that's like the biggest talk of the discords and the forums and all that is when those badges are coming. So I think that's going to be the next big thing in Top Shot for sure.
So going back to, you know, some of the things that Top Shot can do better, UFC is going to be coming out with their own version of Top Shot later in the year. So how much do you know about that? And what kind of changes would you make as they start up if you were the boss for a day in order for them to have a successful launch of their product?
I did sign up for some of the stuff that they wanted to test. I did not get chosen, but I've had a lot of conversations. It is Dapper Labs that is behind all of this again.
Okay.
So it's going to be a lot of the same people involved. So the hope is that they don't just throw it out there until they've kind of got NBA Top Shot down, right? There's nothing wrong with continuing the hype around it. A lot of people are going crazy. They want Conor McGregor this, George St. Pierre this. They want all the old moments. Everybody's already discussing what they would buy on there. So the hype is there, and you could actually keep that going all the way until next year. But I think it's crucial for them to figure out all the issues in beta right now with NBA Top Shot and get that stuff straight before they jump into another venture. Because a lot of people still don't trust what's going on with Top Shot because of all the issues they have all the time. Like the marketplace is down all the time. They've got, you know, timers in between when you can buy things. People don't like that. I don't mind them, to be honest, because it's more of an even playing field for people who go crazy and snipe everything and buy everything when it's hot. But I think they need to use NBA Top Shot as the platform to test all of this, and then they can roll out the UFC. The UFC is not going anywhere. None of those moments are going anywhere. Let's get it right with NBA Top Shot, and then let's move into other ventures. Because, you know, I read something today where somebody said Top Shot may be losing people to other NFT projects and things like that. But if Top Shot becomes one of the best ones out there, because it's tied into the NBA, when the other ones fail, because there's a lot of terrible ones out there, they look cool at first, but they're terrible. If those fail, people will all come back to Top Shot because it's got the best platform. It's the NBA. And if they can figure it all out, they're going to be on the right track. So for me, no UFC until Top Shot is like flawless.
I think the NFL is coming out with one, like, they said like next year or something too, right? And then there's something with like the European soccer leagues that have it already as well. So it's not like the NBA is, I guess the NBA is leading the wave, but you know, like the other sports are going to try to come as quickly as they can too.
Yeah, Serrare is out there. It's a soccer one, but it's kind of like fantasy based. So I opened an account. I thought it was kind of weird. It's again, it's all based on performance on the field. It's tied into real action, right? So I think maybe the NBA will eventually have something like that. Maybe a fantasy version of you can buy players and however they perform, you get certain stuff. But soccer is more a fantasy based type of deal. The players you buy, it all depends how they perform. I don't know. I mean, you guys are Ontario guys. I don't know if you guys saw this, but did you see the Six Buzz NFT this morning?
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Man. One of one.
Yeah. So, I mean, how many people are wondering now that someone like Six Buzz, a page like Six Buzz is putting out an NFT? How many people are like, what is this? What's this NFT business, right? What are these things? And this is how it grows. It's so early in the game of NFTs that, again, if you think you're late, you're completely wrong because these things are just starting off. That's a whole new dynamic now is all these people saying, oh, wow, what's this thing, right? So I thought that was pretty cool.
I think us feeling like we're late is like that competitive edge that you want because like all the OGs are there, like you and your brother are there before, your son's already there. And we're like, man, like these guys are huge. We're there like a month later and we're like, man, we're washed. What's the point?
Yeah, and this is where Top Shot, I think, has to kind of – it's tough. It's hard to get a balance like that, right? Because you want to keep people interested. And I think everyone's complaining about all the challenges they have out there right now because a lot of them cost a lot to complete.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that they've put 7 or 8 of them out there is going to dilute the market big time. And the challenges, I don't know if you've noticed, but that All-Star one, a lot of those moments are down under 300 now. They were all like 500 or more when they came out. Those are all under 300 now. So it's not feasible for everybody, but it's now possible for a lot more people to get into a challenge because there's a ton of them. So OGs don't like it because now there's going to be a lot more minted of, you know, say a Zion for the Rising Stars Part 2 or the LeBron or the KD for the All-Stars. But that's good. The more people you can get invested in these challenges, the better it is for everybody in the long run. Right. So, but the prices are still high. It's not like you can just walk in and spend, you know, $2,000-$3,000. Not everybody can do that. Right. So I always recommend if you're a newbie and you got your first pack and you got a good pack, to sell what's in there because Dapper balances everything, right? One of the things my brother taught me early is if you want to be successful on Top Shot, you have to think 5 or 10 days ahead of time with everything you do. You know, the All-Star game's coming up. They might make some moments. If you want to be invested in that, you better have your Dapper balance right. So start selling 2-3 weeks ahead of time, slowly, whatever it is you don't want, doubles, duplicates, things like that. And then you'll be in a good position because if one of these challenges drops, you're like, man, I really want that LeBron, but I only have $50 in my Dapper. You're either going to have to reinvest more of your money or you're kind of just going to have to sit it out. Right. But if you have $4,000 or $5,000 from stuff you've sold in there, it's like, all right, I can now invest in this challenge like I had predicted a few weeks ahead of time.
Yeah, it's a good way of thinking about it. That that Zion Rising Star one is like our baby right now.
Is I landed.
Oh, yeah. So Josh and I and like a couple of our buddies are splitting our packs. And we landed a pretty good serial number at the like when it dropped, and I'm just waiting. I'm doing the Daryl Morey thing where you just like you value it way too high and hope that some rich person's gonna bite.
He's hilarious like that. And when we had a chance to talk to him, LG interviewed him, and he's a little different. He's pretty wild like that. And he was talking about his son and his son doing other ventures. I could just see him throwing a couple grand at his, or even I could see him throwing like 25K at his son, saying, "Here, go play around with all these NFTs." Right. So that's the way he sounded when he said that. But yeah, it's that, I like that Rising Stars too. Nobody's talking about it right now. Let's hope it stays that way for a little bit, because Zion is like, he's a tier one player on Top Shot, right? And it matters. It's not like guys, you wonder why guys like Bradley Beal and all that, they're not even worth that much in a lot of the sets, because it's just Bradley Beal. Nobody really cares, right? He's not a tier one player on Top Shot. It's hard to explain. Zion is tier one. Luka's tier one. Steph is tier one. LeBron's the king, right? No matter what, always. He's the mecca, right? No matter what. And that's going to be like that until Bronny Jr. or somebody like that comes along and people go crazy for that moment. But the tier one guys, though, I love to collect because I know that they hold value almost forever, right? Bradley Beal, DeMar DeRozan, guys like that. It's just, there's no popularity there. And centers, people hate centers. We don't understand why, but big men don't get any love on Top Shot. So it is a little strange.
It's just not as exciting to watch. Nobody cares, I guess, about Rudy Gobert or DeMontis Sabonis.
Oh, they hate DeAndre Gobert on Top Shot. That's really... Yeah, nobody cares. It's true, though, right? Outside of Embiid and Jokic, and even then, they don't go for too much compared to some of the other guys. There's no love for big men. It's just how it is. I don't understand it.
Yeah, that's true. Let's go into like a rapid fire section. So I wanted to just hit you. We'll pepper you with a bunch of questions, you know, quick answers, whatever comes to your head first. Josh, you want to start it off?
Yeah, for sure. So what is your favorite team and your current favorite player, or your all-time favorite player?
I have to say, favorite team, I mean, Raptors, obviously. We won the championship. Diehard Raptors fan since the first day they played a game. I think I was like at an elementary school dance the night of the first game when they played the... I think it was New Jersey. Were they the Nets back then? Yeah, I guess so. Anyways, I'll never forget that. So Raptors fan since day one. Vince Carter, always been my favorite Raptor of all time. Obviously, Kyle has kind of worked his way in there now as one of the best Raptors of all time. Outside of that, I think SGA is probably my favorite player in the NBA that is not a Raptor. A lot of people don't even know about him. Most people don't even know he's Canadian. Every time we interview someone from the States, we've even interviewed WNBA players, NBA players, and they don't even know. They can't even name you where he's from. Or they have no clue, right? So I said, they'll find out in Tokyo this summer. If they end up making that tournament and they're in that group with the USA, you'll have a few guys on Team Canada showing out, right? And I kind of try and collect like that. I collect, you know, based on a lot of the Canadians. You guys said the Rising Stars too. There's a ton of Canadians in that thing, right? In both Rising Stars challenges. And I love that because that's something I want to invest a high serial or low serial number in. Whether I'm doing the challenge or not, I can keep that forever. So SGA, absolutely favorite player outside of anybody else on the Raptors.
I told Peter a couple of years ago, like, Canada is going to win the Olympics within the next 8 years. There's no doubt. We have a good team now.
Yeah, but people are like, what are you saying? They can't even name you five Canadian NBA players. I'm like, hello, Jamal Murray, SGA, RJ Barrett. That's just scratching the surface, right? Brandon Clark, Lou Dort. Who else?
Dylan not Brooks. Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, not Andrew Wiggins. Although he dropped 40 the other night, so it's tough
he
to
never
say
joins the
now.
Team, though.
He's making a case. That's true, but I think he said he would play in the Olympics. Yeah, I'm not sure. We'll see. Exciting times, though, that's for sure.
It's funny because his dad is actually like heavily involved in Canada basketball, right? So you feel like the one person that would be part of the Olympic team would be Andrew Wiggins, but nah.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe.
How did you feel when Vince left Toronto? Like, where did you stand on that?
Hey, I'll say this. When he came back for the playoffs, I think it was the year after, I was one of the guys in the crowd, you know, let's go Raptors, and VC sucks. I was blasting.
I was there with you.
I was so pissed. I was legit pissed, right? I mean, I think we were hurt, right? That's the thing. But the beauty of that is I was also there when Vince came back. I think he was with Memphis at the time, probably like 5 or 6 years ago, whatever it was, when Toronto finally forgave him and they played that tribute video for the first time ever, right? Like, that was one of the sweetest moments where he acknowledged the crowd. It was kind of like, it really was a breakup at the time, right? Because Vince is responsible for so many guys, Canadian players, like Tristan Thompson will always say, he's like, I played in my driveway pretending to be Vince Carter all the time. That's the only reason I kind of even wanted to play basketball, right? A lot of the other guys who weren't even from the Vince Carter era, like Jamal Murray, they give credit to him all the time too. So for me, it was like a huge breakup at the time. I was just as angry as anybody else at the way it ended and how he was acting at the end and all the BS around it. But when he came back and he made up, and now we're just waiting for him to sign for that one day contract with the Raptors, retire. Maybe he's waiting for the fans to be back in the stands or however he wants to do it. And then I hope he goes in as a Raptor.
So on that note of, you know, Toronto Raptors legends possibly leaving, do you think Kyle Lowry is going to get traded within the next 4 days?
Man, if you're asking me based on his house being sold, because that's been going around forever. People went nuts when his house was sold. And I'm like, well, think of the situation for a sec. The team plays in Florida. Canadian exactly. government may not let them play here for the next 2 years. Who knows, right? We don't know. I don't see them coming back anytime soon. So yeah. He's got family. He's got a wife and kids. He's not going to leave them here in their mansion while he's in Florida for a year or two or until the offseason. So I think he moved them there. Whatever he did, he relocated them. So why keep the house? For what? You're not going to rent it out, right? So, but the media took that and ran. The Raptors don't leak info. They just don't. They never do. They never have, never will. Nobody heard about this DeRozan for Kawhi deal until it happened. There's just no rumors that come out of the camp. Having said that, I do believe that they may be exploring it because it makes sense, right? You would have some takers, just like you'll have some takers for Norm Powell now. Norm Powell is a good example of like the top shot market, right? We're at the peak of Norm Powell right now. So if you've got a Norm Powell, sell him, right? especially that I think he's a free agent next year, right? So yeah. I think, man, somebody will bite on that and maybe get a player back or a good draft pick or something like that. And Kyle Lowry, to answer your question, Josh, I think Kyle Lowry will not be moved in the next 4 or 5. I don't think so. I think it'll take more. It would have to be something incredible. And I think Kyle would have to be on board. And I just have a feeling Kyle will not be on board with ending his Raptors career just like that, playing in Florida and just leaving out of nowhere without, I don't know, without something better than that. Just my gut.
I think he's going back to Philly.
We'll see. We'll see. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, if he goes anywhere, that'd probably be one place he'd accept going or want to go. But I don't know. I don't know what the Raptors are doing. I just don't. They're kind of not moving up, but they're not moving down because the teams below them are so bad that they're not moving up either, right? Like, it's like we should be like in last place right now, but we're not because these teams below us are awful, right? I mean, I'm looking below us. You got Washington right there. I think Cleveland's right there. Like, what's going on here? We're trying to sink to the bottom so we can decide if we want to sell or buy. And it's just not happening because nobody's moving. We're still in contention somehow with all these losses.
On that note, though, like, would you rather them just tank the year? Because they're already, what, 5 or 7 games under 500? And they had this massive losing streak as well. And you have an amazing draft coming up. So why not at this point? This is a lost year anyway with them being in Tampa. And the guy is just going through so much. Don't you think this is a lost season at this point? Just go ahead and just tank the year?
I do, because you have to look at it this way. Two things. In the NBA, unless you have a superstar on your team, you're not winning a championship. End of story. It's been like that since, I think the last team to win without a superstar was the Pistons back in like, what is it, 04? Whenever they won that championship, they did not have a superstar. That's the last team. You cannot name me another team without a superstar. The NBA is just designed like that. So right now, if you're the Raptors, we don't have a superstar. We're not beating the Nets without a superstar. Right. We're not beating teams like that. We're just not in a 7-game series. So why not try and, you know, get what you can for the guys you have and kind of restart. But at the same time, do you want to end up like a, you know, like an Orlando or something for the next 5 or 6 years? You don't, right? Teams that are just never going anywhere. Actually, Orlando's a bad example. I don't know who I could use, but you know what I mean, right? The weaker teams, it takes a lot of drafts to move. Yeah, Detroit's just brutal, no matter who they bring in there, right? But it's weird because we haven't heard from Masai. He's been really quiet. We don't really know what he's up to himself. And I think until that's solidified, we don't know what direction this team's going. But I agree with you. I would definitely sell off on the season, get rid of anybody you can that you can get anything for, and then just play for a high draft pick if you can.
Yeah, I think securing Masai's contract has got to be like the top priority above everything else, right? So
for sure. Absolutely.
What's your favorite like NBA moment? It's either like when you were a kid watching it or, you know, something that you've experienced like as an adult. I have a feeling I know where this is going, but you know.
you know exactly where this is going. It's obviously Vince Carter related. I was actually snowboarding in, I think, Horseshoe Valley that weekend and staying in Barrie, Ontario, staying at the Holiday Inn when the 2000 NBA dunk contest was on. I mean, you ask anybody really who's a big Vince Carter Raptors fan, they'll always go back to that moment. And that's true. I mean, for me, that was like the big point. And it's kind of one of those things where anytime you play ball after that, you're kind of emulating that, right? So Vince Carter and T-Mac in the dunk contest, number one by far for me. It's hard to beat that.
Do you play basketball, and who would you compare your game to?
That's funny. I do play basketball whenever I can. I it's one of the sports. I played so much hockey as a kid that basketball was only a high school thing or elementary school. And elementary school, going to a French school, there weren't many ball players. So I did make the team. And I don't know, we played some terrible games against some terrible teams. But I did live a few years in the U.S., and I did go to the rec center every night. You know, you pay $5 to join these pickup games. And I'll tell you guys right now, it's a whole different story down in some of these states. When you go to these pickup games and you look at the other guys that are there, and you're like, man, I'm going to smoke these guys. But no matter what they look like, they all have game, like serious game. I'm talking guys that look like the most out of shape guys on the planet. And they were just doing stuff I'd never seen in my life. Like, you can't judge that because they may have some experience. So comparing to an NBA player, I'm really good at shooting threes. That's always been my thing, is the long distance shots. I'll probably miss a ton of layups when I try them. I'm serious, man. I'm not kind of like, I'll steal the ball.
Your game sounds a lot like Peter's, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm the exact same way. Can't hit a layup for my life.
No, seriously, I'll go way too hard almost every time. It rims out almost every time. It's embarrassing. So I like to take the perimeter shots. I can shoot threes. So I don't know, man, like Nick Stauskas or something. I don't want to give myself too much credit. So I have to take a guy that's kind of on the verge of the NBA, who's been there. But that's about it. But I had an experience of being a Raptor for a day 2 years ago now at the Scotiabank Arena with Tangerine, a big promotion.
Whoa.
And we got to play an actual game with the real referees and all that, with all the contest winners. And I got to bring a buddy, and we were pulling up for threes all the time. So we hit a couple NBA threes, and that'll be my claim to fame forever. And the other team was coached by Nick Nurse, and I got in his face after one of them. And I did a video of it and everything, man. It's really great. I was talking trash to him the entire game because we beat his team by like 40. He had a bunch of scrubs on his team. And I said, Nick, you just won a championship, and the next game you coach is this nonsense. How do you feel? You know? So, yeah, memory of a lifetime. That was such a good experience. And that's my claim to fame, is hitting a couple NBA threes in that game.
That's dope. I could only imagine what playing at SBA would be like. What are your favorite Toronto spots, restaurants, bars, you know, that kind of stuff?
Oh, man, I used to go out so much. I mean, that's all I ever did, all the clubs and all that stuff downtown. But that's been a while. Like, I have kids, and they're getting old. I have kids young, so they're getting a little old now, so I can experience that a little bit more. But anywhere downtown Toronto for me is, I'm born and raised in Toronto, midtown, downtown, uptown, went to school uptown. I'd say anywhere around some of the arenas, you know, down on Richmond, down on Front, all these bars and restaurants, fantastic. I always tell people about the nightlife in Toronto, how amazing it is, you know, and it's something you can't miss. So I can't really pinpoint one place, but like, this is a city. Like, I always tell my buddies, we do a fantasy football draft trip every year to the States and places like that. They're all American, my guy friends in that league. And I always tell them, hey, come to Toronto. And they're like, nah, man, what do you mean Toronto? What's Toronto? I said, you guys have no idea, man. We keep going to places like, we go to these random cities like Philadelphia and you know, like Denver and all that. They're great, but they don't even compare. Like, and I'm not just saying that, right? So I'm pretty biased at Toronto.
If it's good enough for LeBron, it's good enough for your friends.
There you go, man. He loves it here. Exactly.
White Vegas. So last question. What is your Mount Rushmore players?
Of all time? Like,
yeah.
We're not your talking personal Mount Rushmore. Talking all time? My personal Mount Rushmore. Okay, I have to throw. I'll never put Kawhi up there because I'm still bitter about that. I don't know if I'll ever get over him leaving. So I'll put Vince. I'll put Kyle up there. I have to put. Man, this is tough. I have to put LeBron. Listen, I've hated LeBron for years, but I've respected LeBron. I kind of grew up more in the LeBron era than MJ. But then I watched a documentary on MJ, and I can't not put him up there, right? So, like I said, my only memories of MJ as a kid were going to the Sky Dome. And hoping Damon Stoudemire and the Raptors would beat him when I was really young. And they had that big curtain up at the Sky Dome there. And for some reason, the only team that ever played the Bulls tough was the Raptors that year. So, Michael Jordan, Vince Carter, Kyle Lowry. Let's see. LeBron James. And I'll give you one more. Let's go with, man, that's tough.
Rafael Araújo, man, it's cool.
I was going to bring the exact same thing.
Araújo, worst draft pick ever in like history of draft picks. So when you look at the other guys that were in that draft too, that's like depressing.
Brutal.
I'll have to go with, man, I don't know. Let's throw Masai up there, man.
There you go. Spoken like a true Toronto fan.
With all the stuff he was doing, and you know, the F Brooklyn and all that, and it looked really bad for a while. That trade he pulled off is like one of the greatest trades of all time. As much as we love DeMar, it was a championship move, a move you have to make. It's a business. It is what it is. You know, we all hurt for DeMar, and so did he. But look what it did, right? Brought us a championship. And I'm telling you right now, if Kawhi actually re-signs with the Raptors, you never know. I think it could have almost been dynasty level if they had brought in more players and I mean, they could have brought PG here. Like, if the whole thing was you wanted to go play with PG, then why don't you stay here and figure it out? They were offering you private jets and all that. I mean, you could have ate for free, you and your family, in this city for life. I'll never understand it. I went to the parade. I went to all those things. And then I just couldn't understand why he left. So, but we're not, well, we won't get into that today. I'll get too fired up.
I like that. That's a good sentiment to end on. Phil, we can find you at RealPhilD on Twitter.
Yep. That's right. At the RealPhilD. And the First Mint is at the First Mint. Pretty simple.
Sweet. And what's the name of your 2K podcast?
It's called the Exposé Podcast. I do some live shows for the 2K Zone, which is just a regular live show, but I do the Exposé Podcast, which focuses on all the rumors, all the pissed off players, coaches, GMs. We bring them on the show. They kind of release on there. It's pretty cool stuff. I'm not even a gamer or anything, but I got into the 2K league when I saw the Raptors had a team. And the Raptors had the best regular season in history of the league last year. Did not win the championship, but they're back stronger than ever this year. So NBA 2K League Exposé Podcast is where you can find that.
Beautiful. All right, Phil. Thanks a lot, man. This is awesome. Good luck with your Top Shot moments, challenges, whatnot.
Yeah, you too, guys. And hopefully we can do this again. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much. Dope.